Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
A four-game sweep of the A's. I don't care if you think it's the A's and it's an easy team to beat. One, it's a professional team, okay? Two, they still had a great performance, great starting pitching. In addition to that, two pretty explosive nights offensively. I know two close games, but two great games. And I will take four wins in a row anytime, anywhere against anyone. So there was lots to love from this one, but now they got to take on better teams because almost any team is better. They're taking on the Pirates in a series upcoming here.
Literally any team.
And then they're taking on the Yankees. So just gradually getting better. Now, don't look at Pittsburgh or for that matter, New York's records alone and think like, okay, fine, that's totally fine. They're not the best in their division. No, Pittsburgh's starting rotation is really excellent. And as Brandon Gustafson pointed out to us earlier, George Kirby leading the league in walks and hits per innings pitched. The starter for tonight's game, Mitch Keller, is second. So this is going to be a tough, tough challenge for the Mariners offense. And then, of course, you got the Yankees. But we are looking at one series at a time. So, Bump, my question for you, for me, for listeners, and I've already got some answers from listeners. Who from this sweep of the A's feels most likely to carry his production over? You saw something from this sweep where you think, you know what? That's real. I think that can be sustained.
Who do we talk to? Who's our baseball guy yesterday? Was it BG?
That was Ryan.
Ryan, yes. And I asked Ryan about Julio. I go, man, what are you seeing? Mm. Is it getting it together? What's going on? In this series, he's batting .470, three extra base hits, two RBIs, three multi-hit games, and only has three strikeouts. And those three strikeouts came all in one game. The other three games in this series, he didn't strike out. Now, the number that, not concerning, but you want to see more of it, is he hasn't had a home run in 12 games. But I'm looking at what Julio has done, and I'm thinking, okay, he's starting to get back in his groove. Mm-hmm. And Julio, he's the type of player, once he sees success, it just builds and grows and grows and grows. You know, I think most athletes are like that, but I think Julio has done a great job over his short career of capturing that and running with that thing.
Good point.
So I'm looking at Julio and I'm saying, all right, man, everything's going up. OPS is going up. Your average is going up. Your strikeouts are going down. You got multi-hit games. Haven't seen that in a while. You got extra base hits. You're not striking out. Only a couple RBIs, but fine, we'll take that. Everything is trending in the right direction for Julio. Defensively, we know that he's always going to be on point. He'll be fine there. He is the centerpiece of this organization. So not only do I think it's going to happen, I hope it's going to happen, and it better happen. Because if it does not, then this team isn't going to have the success that we want. There are a bunch of places you can go, but with this one, I'm going with the obvious. It's number 44.
All right. That is the number one answer on the Mac and Jack's text line. I'll have you know. Again, you guys can join this conversation, 866-979-3776. 503, it's got to be Julio. He was a lot more disciplined, putting the ball in play, hitting the opposite field. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before he goes gob mode. JD in the 509, let's talk pitching here. I hope it's Julio, but I also hope it's La Piedra. That's a great point because we saw Castillo kind of struggle a little bit, not just of late, but kind of over the month of May. The first time he allowed, I believe, now don't quote me on this one, I think the first time he allowed four more runs in a game was with his first start in May. I think it was May 5th or around there. He's kind of had a bad May compared to April. I'm with JD. I think that the turnaround we saw for Luis Castillo was real. That wasn't just the A's. I think he's jumping out of what was a little bit of a rough start and kind of getting back to himself. I feel that one. I could agree with Castillo. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm going to let you know. I don't know why I'm saying this. I think my answer from the plate would be Ty. Now, I do hope it's Julio, and I agree with Julio. I think that's the best answer. The only reason I think it's Ty is he's been improving gradually. Now, his numbers over his last 15 are actually better than his numbers over his last 7. He's slashing .274, .328, .516 over his last 15, .214 over his last 7, 6 for 28. But he does have 3 home runs. So the bulk of those home runs over the last 15 coming over the last 7. Obviously, that was impacted last night, but that's also why my answer is Ty France, because there was something really encouraging about seeing him get hurt. And then I had a little bit of a flashback to last year when his numbers just dropped off a cliff after he got hurt. seeing him bounce back so quickly, I was like, okay, maybe we're not going to see that. Maybe we're actually going to see Ty have a chance to not be sidelined by injury and then work on whatever issues he has with hitting completely healthy for the most part.
Yeah, because we saw what that injury did to him last year.
Exactly.
He was an all-star. Then he gets hurt and then things start to change
then
for
it
him.
Changes.
So then when you see him get hit by that pitch, you start to think the worst. You're like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen all over again. So
to
see him come out and go yard twice is very encouraging. And then when you talk about Ty France, he is probably the best overall hitter on this team. Whatever the pitch requires him to do, he can do that. I mentioned earlier he talks about being pitched inside because people are staying away from him going oppo. Boom, I switch some things, get pitched inside, I'm going to pull that thing. So, yeah, I like Ty France as well because after Julio, he's probably the most reliable. You can look at Jared Kelnick too, but we're just seeing him jump into this role of a guy that you can count on. Over the past couple of years, Ty France has been a guy that you know is going to give you some good ABs.
Mm-hmm.
So for every Batman, there is a Robin. And here's the thing. Who is going to be the Robin? And is Julio even the Batman right now? I'm sure there's some all right, you guys out there, don't kill me with this. Is Batman Marvel or is he DC?
He's DC. Even I know that bump.
He's DC.
Matt, I am so glad Matt
isn't
here.
Matt would be all over me.
He'd be all
over me. Oh, my God.
Matty Ice, I apologize. All right, I should know this.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
But I'm sure there are some comic books where Batman doesn't get it done. He has a bad week, you know, saving the lives of Gotham City, you know what I'm saying? So that's why we're in a bad episode right now with Julio. So I think he's still the Batman. But you can use a couple Robins, man.
That's true.
And I think Ty and Kelnick can be there.
You want to know a fun fact? Batman actually has had a couple Robins. There's been like 4 different Robins. And if Matt were listening, he'd be like, it's actually 6 because in this alternate universe one they had. But there's been a lot of Robins. I just want everyone to know that. Let's see. So we had Nelson and Kent, opposing pitchers are the Joker. Now we're all using Batman analogies here.
See, we did.
253
we did.
Said bump.
Bump stop.
Stop.
You don't like my analogy? Julio's Batman.
How about this one? 360. Obviously, we all agree with J-Rod, but second observation, the bullpen.
Yeah, bullpen has to be. I mean, there's
good.
Only been one pitcher that you've been kind of worried about in the bullpen, and that's Brash.
Well, and yes. And I think, though, that with that series against the Braves, Topa didn't have a great outing.
Topa and
struggled
God both
a little
had
bit.
One. I mean, their poor outing was together.
You know, yes, exactly.
They
was that in a Miller start when they both? I don't know. I'm thinking of something weird. Bullpen, I will accept as an answer though.
Yeah.
We have Bryce Miller. I think Bryce Miller's absolutely going to carry this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I look at the entirety of the starting rotation and there's no one who I think only had a good game because it was the A's. The Mariners are tops in MLB in quality starts with 28.
Yep.
For a reason. And, you know, if this offense was better, that means they've had quality starts where they've lost games.
Yeah.
They've lost 3 games where they had quality starts. But let's see if they can turn that around. 925, you mentioned him a little bit, but let's get back to him. 925 says, great question, Stacey. Thank you. I think Caballero, he starts to assume a solid lock as the starting second baseman. I think he may eventually be the leadoff batter, considering his on-base percentage and base-stealing prowess. And then he says, actually, Seattle has 2 potential candidates for Rookie of the Year, Cabby and Bryce.
I think Cabby has more to do. I think Cabby has more to do.
Yeah.
It's Bryce, you see him every 5 days, right? So, yes, he has to be consistent, but there's space in between his starts and whatnot. You see more Caballero, so there's more opportunity for him to either separate himself and be like, okay, I'm a legit Rookie of the Year candidate, or to fall back a bit because he's going to stumble more than I feel like Bryce is going to stumble. You know what I'm saying? So, but I like those two.
253 says Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Damian Wade, Tim Drake, and Stephanie Brown have all been Robin for Batman. Only in order it goes Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, and Damian Wade. Come correct. Okay, guess who was a Batman fan when they were little? And I read the comics.
Where is this coming from?
Like, I was a huge Batman fan. Test my knowledge. And then Dick Grayson became Nightwing, and then Jason Todd became the Red What's-His-Face.
Sheesh.
You know
I'm
what
just
I feel
telling
like?
You. Come correct.
I feel like,
come correct.
I feel like Nelson called you out one day. So you went home and said,
I loved Batman when I was little. He was like, Batman the Animated Series and Batman comics. It was my thing. I was all about it.
I'm impressed.
Come correct my Batman knowledge.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Where's Adam West from?
I know. Batman is from Walla Walla, Washington. Oh, yeah. Adam West. Yeah. 206 has no worries about Brash. Let's see. So Bump is saying Julio. I am saying Ty. Curtis, you want to suggest one that you think can carry over his production from the A series?
Or you can
co-sign with, you know, one of your favorite hosts. You just kind of pick which child you love
most.
Yeah,
I think of the two that you guys have picked, I think Julio is most likely to carry
over. Okay, fine. You made your choice.
I think he's starting to warm up.
I get it.
Do I want to go chalk and just say, like, you know, Bryce Miller or somebody like that? But I think it's going to be Luis Castillo. I think he is done with the slumping, if you want to call that what it was in May. I think he's back on the right track.
Yeah.
I think he just kind of has those moments throughout the course of a season where maybe 2, 3, 4 starts don't go particularly well, but it doesn't totally derail his entire, you know, stat line. His ERA is still below 3 this season. He's been just as advertised if you look at the totality of his season. But I think he is back on track. And we're going to see it in this Pittsburgh series when he throws next, that I think he's going to be fine. I think this – and look, Pittsburgh's offense right now is not producing very well, so it could be another soft landing for him to get another great start under his belt.
Would that be better for us to start looking at the pitching side of things against Pittsburgh particularly? Because this is a tough – pitching group for the offense. So I don't want to look at like Julio having 4 strikeouts and be like, we were wrong. Like, I think you can be right, Bump. And then also Julio can still have like 3 strikeouts tonight. This is a tough pitching matchup.
Yeah, I think that's with this team, that's how you have to approach it, right? I think in any matchup, it's all about who's on the mound and how successful you think you could be or should be against that team. You look at the guy they're facing today. Stats say, like, look, man, it's going to be a tight one.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have on the mound today?
Let me get your Pizza Hut pitching matchup. It's George Kirby versus
Mitch Keller.
Mitch Keller.
George Kirby. Keller's
who are
great.
Both, they're, yeah, 1-2 in walks per
You know what's
inning,
funny about that nine. Question? I ask who's on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
It really don't matter right now.
Oh,
that's
a good point.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, who's on the mound?
Yes,
let's see. I'm like, nah, just line them up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because our staff is like that. We like that. So, yeah, I think we have to start looking at the matchups a bit more closely and understand that probably in this matchup today, we're going to have a low-scoring game.
Yeah.
You're going to have to grind one out.
Yep.
Tomorrow's starting pitcher for the Pirates is going to be Roansy Contreras.
What's up with him?
He's a young pitcher. He's got an ERA of 4.5 this season,
he
has been one of their higher-ranked prospects for the last couple seasons, so I think he's got some upside to
him.
Do
they have probables already for...
Not for Sunday's game, so that could be just about anybody.
Who's up for us? We got Logan.
We have got Luis on Saturday,
okay.
And then Marco gets the start on Sunday.
And then Bryce is going to open the Yankees series.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this Yankees series. Can I just say that? I'm so excited for the Yankees series. I don't want to look ahead. I know. One game at a time. all right. We are going to get to a couple things here. So in the timeline, I promised that we would get, this is coming up at 11:30. I promised we would get back to the story that Scott Servais had about Gino and his at-bat and his game-winning walk. And he was very proud of what Gino did, but said there's some other stuff going on there. It's really funny. And Bump, before I get to it, I want you to think of, because I'm going to ask you this question in the timeline and anyone listening, a potentially embarrassing moment that you had as an athlete where, because you know what's coming up in the timeline,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Kind of a moment where
I got a story about a teammate.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I'm so excited. All right, let's go ahead and get to Four Down Territory so we can get to the timeline.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
X's and O's here. First down. Over the past couple years, the Cowboys have been fined for having practices deemed too physical. Because of that, the Cowboys adjusted their 11-on-11 periods to more of a walk-through and jog-through. What are your thoughts on this matter?
Now, the Cowboys have to adjust, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what good teams do, especially when the league is fining you. They were fined, or the head coach was fined, $50,000 in 2021, $100,000 in 2022. So obviously there's something they're doing that is against the rules. Here's a problem I have with practices going that way. If you are an established veteran, you're a high draft pick, yeah, you can 11-on-11, you can walk through, jog through, you're good to go. The guys fighting to make the team, they need to show what they can do, like physically show what they can do. Most guys in the NFL are smart enough to pick up a playbook. Most people are going to be assignment friendly. I just think about the guys on the back end and saying, okay, how are they going to get a true evaluation of these guys? Obviously, you have the preseason games. You're going to focus on that. But during the week, what you're doing is you're building equity with your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, your head coach. You're showing them, like, look, not only do I know what I'm doing, but I can handle the physical part of the game. Not saying you got to lay guys out and do all that, but it's just a disadvantage. So it's good for the veterans. It's good for the established guys. But guys struggling to make the team, it just makes it that much harder. But the Cowboys had to adjust because what they were doing obviously wasn't working. But you know me, I'm an underdog champion. I love some underdogs. And I think about the dudes who have the temporary locker in the middle of the locker room with a booty number on that they give you because they don't think you're going to make the team. I think about those guys and what they have to go through to make the roster.
You know what, though? It's important because someone has to. And because how many times have we talked about, we did this with baseball as well, that oftentimes the CBA, for fair reasons, is really powered by players who are already kind of locked in and have gotten their money. And so they're thinking about, like, it is easy to, and they should, everyone should prioritize player health. When you are trying to make it and set up your family and get paid for the first time or just make a team in the first place, understandably, that's not top of mind for you. I'll risk anything.
When I was in the league, we had a CBA going down.
Yeah.
And all the veterans are going across the locker room, like making their pitches and getting all passionate about it. I looked at them, I go, I don't give two, you know, what's about that CBA. Yeah. I'm just trying to make the squad, dog. I'm just trying to get a paycheck. So you're right. It's influenced by the guys who've been there a while, which it should be, right?
Because they've been in the league. They're the ones in the league.
But young guys, we don't care about that. Yeah. We're just trying to make the team.
Second down. It's list season, that time of the year when riders across the country, including yours truly, make a list for everything. Now it's your turn, Bump.
Yeah.
Who are the top 10 wide receivers in the NFC? TBD whether it includes DeAndre Hopkins moving forward.
All right, so I didn't go 10, I went 5.
Okay.
So I got 5 for you. And number 5 on my list, I know he was top 5 on Devontae Adams' list. I go with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb went for, 107 receptions, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns. I think there's more that this man could do. He's a slot receiver guy, but he has outside receiver type of big plays. I like CeeDee Lamb. Number 4, I'm going with our guy, Mr. DK Metcalf. He had 90 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. I think that with Jaxon Smith-Njigba joining the squad, I think it opens up the game for DK a bit more. I think now he's going to take even more shots down the field with DK because you have your underneath guys. DK is going to take another step in his growth. And then number 3, I got AJ Brown. This man went for 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns, a long of 78. He talked about getting better as a receiver. I broke down his film a couple weeks ago. If he can get better at tempo routes, meaning you got time to maneuver at the line of scrimmage. You're not in a rush. You're not just firing off the line of scrimmage. You're letting things develop around you. If you can get better at that, sky's the limit for that guy. And number 3, I got Cooper Kupp. Now, this is just based off of the history of what he's done because he was hurt last year, obviously. But Cooper Kupp has a long resume of just getting her done. And then the best receiver in the NFC is no doubt Justin Jefferson. Mm. One of the best route runners in the game. He brought one of the young players to bring the gritty to the NFL. Every kid does the gritty now. he epitomizes the new era of receivers, the style that they play with, the flair that they play with. But I look at those 5 and I go, those are the top 5 in the NFC.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So you talk about the tempo routes and how, now your answer may be Justin Jefferson to this, so I know that I'm getting a little repetitive. But you talk about tempo routes and how if A.J. Brown could be better with those, he could be so complete as a receiver. And then you talked about how some other receivers are great off the line, but, you know, maybe not the speediest guys initially. What's a receiver in either conference where you're like, this guy can pretty much do every single thing? Like, if it was a scouting report, I would just have nothing. But, like, I guess in baseball, you'd have like 80, 80, 80, 80. Yeah. Like, there's just nothing he can't do well.
In the AFC, I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. He can do whatever you ask him to. Yeah. Great release, tempo routes, goes over the top, goes across the middle. He's extremely tough. And then, yeah, Justin Jefferson in the NFC. I mean, obviously, there's other receivers who can do it as well. But when I look at the receiver who does absolutely everything, Those are the first few names I think of.
What if you had to choose one or the other and you were building your dream team and you only got one?
Are they the same age?
Yes.
Right now, if they're the same age...
Let's say they're both 25.
Both 25. I think I'm still going Justin Jefferson. Yeah.
Third down. What's a Geno Smith stat you saw that surprised you?
Now, when we talk about Geno and the texters weigh in, what are some of the arguments they have or some of the downfalls that they say that Geno...
Struggled over the second half, threw interceptions in the second half, that he benefited more from good receivers. Again, these are, I'm summarizing arguments that I've seen most often. I would say second half Geno, that being who he really was, is the most common argument.
True. That's one. But the one I'm going to lean on, something you didn't mention, but I'm sure you're going to agree. People talk about him not having game-winning drives.
Oh, dang
like,
it. Yes.
Geno, he doesn't. Yeah. He can't win the game for you, man. Yada, yada. I'm like, okay. And I'm just looking up game-winning drives. My man has 10 game-winning drives in his career. 5 fourth quarter comebacks. I was tripping. I'm like, this can't be true. His rookie season, he put together 5. They beat Tampa, Buffalo, Atlanta, New England, and Cleveland. And then you go to year 2, he puts 2 more together. They beat Tennessee and Miami. And then, believe it or not, they're crediting him with 3 game-winning drives last year against New York and the Rams twice. So I think that we got to kill that noise. So he's been a starter for 3 years. And he's got 10 game-winning drives. I think the most ever is around 80-something. Ben Roethlisberger is up there, but he played for like 15, 16, 17 years.
At least 40 years.
All right. So I'm looking at Geno. I go, okay, it might not look pretty to some in the second half of the season. I understand that, or maybe even in the fourth quarter. But the numbers don't lie. The stats don't lie. I'm looking at Football Reference. And they say my man has 5 fourth-quarter comebacks and 10 game-winning drives. He has that in him. He had 3 last year. If he can put together 3 to 5 this year, I give him 1 or 2 more wins.
You have been accused of, from second down, your top 5 receivers in the NFC, snubbing Debo.
Debo, he's an athlete.
He's a flex.
He's an athlete, man.
I'll snub Debo if I want to. If I want to. fourth down. Receiver doesn't have a home right now. He became a free agent earlier today when the Cardinals released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Which team could use a wide receiver like him?
Now, he put out his list, right?
Mm-hmm.
He put out his list, and of course, he wants contenders. It was like
Bengals, Mahomes,
Atlanta,
Allen,
Buffalo,
Lamar,
Chiefs. Like, of course, yeah. You chase your ring, and that's what you should do. But if you're not chasing a ring, if you got a couple years to spare and you want to help a team do something they haven't done before, I'm looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars and saying the way they're going to throw that football with Trevor Lawrence, you have Calvin Ridley, one of the best receivers in the game already, one of the best route runners in the game. Haven't seen him in a year because he was suspended. You got Christian Kirk, the guy who's responsible for resetting the receiver market. He will stretch it down the field. Then you have Zay Jones over there, who's a good receiver as well. And you have Evan Ingram at that tight end spot in a good running game and Travis Etienne. I'm looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars and I'm saying, look, you got a young quarterback. You're in a division that you could easily win. You're going to go up against 2 rookie quarterbacks in that division. The AFC South is wide open, and the Jaguars should be the favorite to win that. I see D. Hopkins, if he doesn't go with a contender, as he should, because he's earned that, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I feel like, would be a nice fit for him.
Coming up, Scott Servais shared a funny story about Geno Suarez's game-winning walk from last night. Plus, the wild butterfly effect from a random Chicago Blackhawks game has significantly altered the future of the NHL. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
You are listening to The Timeline on Bump and Stacey, reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own timeline. Plus, we have some injury updates here coming up on Andres Munoz for the injury report at the end of this one. So, lots to unload here. But we're going to start with this story. Scott Servais shared a funny story about Geno Suarez's game-winning walk from last night.
You know, things kind of unfolded rather quickly. Julio gets up there and swings at the first pitch, and Geno was down going to the bathroom and came up and put his batting gloves on, and they intentionally walked Jared immediately. And Geno had no idea what the guy threw. Never seen him before. Go play baseball. Hunting a good pitch. Didn't get a good pitch he could swing at. It worked out okay. Sometimes that happens, you know what I mean? And it seems like it happens to Geno maybe more than others, but it worked out okay.
So Geno Suarez figured, you know what? I got two batters ahead of me. I got time to just take a really quick bathroom break, and then I'll get out here and watch a little bit of this guy. Nope, because essentially one pitch later and then an appearance later, you got to go up to the plate. Like Scott said, didn't see anything he liked, and it ended up being a run that was walked in by Gino, and it ended up being the final score, 3-2. And I love that story. I love the idea of, like, I just took a quick bathroom break, and then I came back, and I suddenly had to step into the batter's box against a pitcher, and I had no idea what his game was.
Man, my man showed up to work unprepared. It was like,
hey, I feel it.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to go out there. And then my question is, Julio swings at the first pitch. They walk Jared Kelnick. Who's yelling, Gino?
Yeah.
Gino, get out of the bathroom door.
Get out here.
Come on, man, you're up. He goes, all right, what does he throw? I'm like, I don't know, man. So, yeah, that's a veteran move.
It's very much Gino Suarez's personality to just be like, huh, all right. Get some swinging.
Here we go. Okay. Well, we'll see what this guy has. Have you guys ever heard Ryan Roland Smith's story about to the bathroom in the dugout and the way
during
that the door
a fight.
During a
or,
fight? Well, no, no,
right,
no, no.
But
the
right
fight,
before it.
The fight broke out when he was in the bathroom. So he tried to leave the bathroom to join the fight, but that the door to the bullpen opened and shut him in the bathroom, so he couldn't open the bathroom door. So he was stuck in the bathroom while the bullpen ran out to go join this fight, and he couldn't get out until finally he did, and he had to be like, you know, a little late to the party.
Yeah, he was the last one.
He was the last guy there.
Running by himself, and people were like, where were you? Yeah. He's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I was getting ready. I was swinging on him. I went to their bullpen is what I did. I let him know. So, Bump, I asked you and I asked listeners to talk about some funny or embarrassing or kind of like, you know, stories like that, where it's like, yeah, I went to the bathroom and a fight broke out. Or Gino was in the bathroom and came out and all of a sudden had to face this pitcher and it worked out. Like, just kind of funny stories in sports. You said you had one about a teammate.
Yeah, I'm not going to name him.
Okay.
Because I respect my mans. But
okay,
we're playing Oregon State, playing against the Beavers. And for some reason, every time we played Oregon, it was a shootout, man. We used to put up a lot of points on both sides. And where our defense is out there, and he's standing next to me, and he's a country dude, man. He go, Bump, I got to pee. I got to pee, Bump. I'm like, well, you know, go get a Gatorade bottle or something. Yeah, someone cover you up. He goes, nah, I don't want to miss anything. He goes, I'm just going to go. And I look, and there is a stream running down my man's leg. And I look at him. I go, dude, how old are you? He goes, I had to hold it. I go over there and just spray a bunch of water on yourself, please. Because these guys got to go out there and tackle you now. Yeah. It was disgusting. And then I had that experience with him. Apparently, that happened several times throughout the season. Other people are like, man, did you hear about so-and-so? I'm like, oh, my gosh, man. Yeah, that was disgusting.
The idea of being like, no, I'm just going to go now.
I'm just going.
And then just silent.
First, I'm like, what do you mean you're just going to go now? Like, what? I didn't think. And I look, and I'm like, come on, man.
How do you even let yourself do it? Because, you know, sometimes mentally you're like, you just can't. You wouldn't be able to.
Man.
Like, your body won't let you because you're too scared.
Exactly.
How?
House way. I don't get it.
My favorite thing is when you hear about players and you think it's an injury, but it turns out they just had to go to the bathroom. The DK Metcalf one is a prime example. Like, DK's getting carted off the field. Oh, it's because he can't walk right now. Because he's got an emergency. All right, next story on the timeline. The wild butterfly effect from a random Chicago Blackhawks Pittsburgh Penguins game on April 11th has significantly altered the future of the NHL. The Florida Panthers are really what brings this story to light, but here we go. Chicago beat Pittsburgh 5-2. Again, this is on April 11th. The Penguins' loss allowed the Florida Panthers to jump them in the standings and eventually clinch a playoff spot by only 1 point. The Panthers are now in the Stanley Cup Finals. That's one thing. Secondly, Chicago's win that night gave them the third best NHL draft lottery odds. They eventually won the draft lottery and will presumably select generational talent Connor Bedard, number one overall. That's number two. Then, if Florida doesn't make the playoffs because of the Penguins' loss, the Toronto Maple Leafs don't lose to the Panthers in the second round of the playoffs and don't end up firing their GM, who is now the leading candidate to be the Penguins' next GM.
It all comes full circle.
It's a butterfly effect.
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot.
A lot going on there.
I think the one I'd be most upset about, maybe the Connor Bedard one. Right.
Yeah. Teams were tanking for that young man.
Yeah.
Well, they were tanking, but their win helped them sew up the number three spot rather than like number two or number one, which didn't end up winning the lottery.
Well, that's why people were like...
Well, and yeah, and Chicago is one of the biggest franchises.
Exactly, and that's why people were like, oh, really? Chicago? Is there a frozen envelope in there? Even though it's a little lottery.
Classic.
Yeah.
Great Lakes bias.
Well, first of all, it's East Coast. It's everything, well, yeah, everything east, west. Anything yeah. east of Seattle is East Coast.
Exactly.
We've always said that.
But yeah, I mean, or... The Panthers aren't even in the Stanley Cup final if the Penguins win that game.
That's maybe my favorite thing. Now, the Bedard thing is when, as a team, I'd be most upset on missing out from him. So anything that affected that, I'd be sad about. But the Panthers making it to the final, knowing that they wouldn't even be there had this not happened, mm-hmm. and they only got in by 1 point, is wild. Because that's a team where it's like, they ended up losing anyway. No. And not only that, but they bested the best teams in hockey to get there, starting with the Bruins.
Best in the world, Craig.
Best in the world, comma Craig.
They did that.
Yes.
Okay, let's get to the IRG injury report brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. We'll start with one that you guys already know about, Tariq Woolen. He underwent arthroscopic knee surgery this week after injuring his knee, walking onto the Seahawks practice field. That last part per ESPN. Secondly, Jerry DePoto told Seattle Sports that Andres Munoz is expected to rejoin the team on their next road trip. Here, take a listen.
And, Mooney's throwing comfortably. He's been in a great position, as I mentioned last week, since he received that PRP injection, and he's tracking very well. He had a spring training and a start up into the season. I don't think it will take quite as long. Our hope is that Mooney is able to join the club maybe closer to this next road trip, sometime on the next road trip. But again, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel for both he and Penn Murphy, which I think is also an exciting development for us.
All right, coming up, we are going to go ahead and do a bold take Friday. Now, normally we do this during the Seahawks season, but we'll do a couple Mariners ones here and there. And so we're going to do bold take Friday Mariners edition. This is going to be for the rest of the homestand, okay? So I know Bump has told me over and over again as a former athlete, one game at a time, but I'm going to instead do two series at a time, okay? I'm going to go for the rest of the homestand, your bold Mariners take. Text it in now, 866-979-3776. That's next.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
All right, let me hit you with tonight's Pizza Hut pitching matchup first. It's George Kirby on the mound for Seattle against Pittsburgh ace Mitch Keller. Both have been amazing with limiting walks per nine, so I think they're 1-2 in the league. Going to be a tough one for the Mariners lineup, and for that matter, Pittsburgh's. Maybe a low-scoring game. We'll see. It's Bold Take Friday, Mariners edition. We are going through the rest of the homestand here. Now, your bold take can be for the series against Pittsburgh if you want. It could be for just one player tonight if you want. But feel free to make it stretch through the homestand. Your bold take in now to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. Bump, what you got?
My bold take. Now, we've seen Julio Rodriguez try to figure this thing out in the mm-hmm. series. Did really good. Like I mentioned, 470 average, 3 extra base hits, 2 RBIs, multi-hit games, only struck out several times. My man is starting to figure it out. I need a home run from my guy. He has no home runs in the last 12 games. All right, so I need production from him. And then my guy, Teoscar Hernandez, only has one home run in 12 games.
Okay.
So between the two of them, during this homestand, we're going to get at least 5 home runs between the two of them.
Wow, that is a bold take. I was waiting to see where you were going to go with it. I was like, oh, so each guy is going to hit a home run? Wow. No, that's not what it is.
Nah.
It's either one hits 5, one hits 4, the other hits 1, one hits 3, the other hits 2, one hits 2, the other hits 3, or one hits 4, and the other hits 1.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's just some math, you know?
it's math that you were comfortable doing on air.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
bold take from the 206. This one is for the Yankees series. Bold take. Aaron Judge will not have a home run in the series. Ooh. Is Aaron Judge is he out? I know he came back recently.
Back.
Okay. I know he came back from a back injury. Bold take Friday. Bryce Miller goes 7 innings in that first outing against the Yankees and gives up no runs on Monday.
I mean, is that bold?
It's bold against the Yankees. Has he gone and not given up a run yet? I need to go back and look.
Yeah, he's given up runs.
No. Sorry. Has he had a game where he has not given up a single run?
Yeah. He didn't give up a single run in his last start against the A's.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Next one, the 206 bold take. Julio hits for the cycle.
Ooh.
Career first. Very, very cool.
I like that.
I know. I like that one. Bold take Friday. How about this? The Mariners leading MLB in quality starts with 28. There are six games left to play across two series. Bold take Friday from the 206. How about six straight quality starts?
Six straight?
Back to back to back to back to back to back.
I like that.
That's a lot.
I'm with
That's a lot of quality starts.
It is.
It's a lot of
that's
quality.
That's a bold take. Like that's a bold take.
I like this one from the 724.
Oh, I love that. I was just about to read that.
Aaron Boone gets tossed twice.
I like it.
He's been tossed twice in like the last six games,
yeah.
Hasn't he?
Yeah, he... I don't know if he's feeling the heat or whatnot, but he's been a little spicy.
Who got tossed for the hand washing thing? Was that the Reds?
That was that was Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán, who
so
makes
it was Aaron
return.
Boone who got tossed.
Yeah, Germán makes his return in the first game of the Mariners Yankees series.
I like it.
On
I like
Monday.
This. I like this. Let's see. Bold take. Okay, this is reckless. 360. Bryce Miller pitches a perfect game.
Okay.
Now come on,
That's wild.
I'll allow it. Bold take from the 360. Bold take. Stacey actually follows through and brings in cake. Never mind, that's not happening. Okay, that's really, again, a little uncalled for. I am not the subject here, and you know, we don't need to have shots fired. Bold take. Is Dylan Moore expected to come back?
He is still on his rehab assignment, okay. Tacoma, but there's a chance this homestand comes
okay.
back.
From the 425, Dylan Moore comes back and hits a home run in his first game.
Yay.
Hey, Chris.
Trammell hit a grand slam.
Yeah. That's tough. How about this one? This one's fun. Bold take from the 206. Tonight's game, we'll go into extra innings. And then Jose Caballero hits a grand slam.
Jose!
I like that one. That would be a fun story. I always like bold takes that are just fun stories. Let's see, bold take. We have some more Julio ones here. Bold take, Mariners go 6-0 and throw two no-nos. Come on, guys.
That's, come on.
Okay. We're doing bold takes.
I mean, can we live in reality just a little bit?
No, we can't. No, we can.
How about this one?
Is it a bold enough take to say they go 10-0 in the homestand?
Yeah, that's very bold.
Okay, I know it's a bold take, but... That is a really common one on here, is that they're just going to sweep the next two.
I think that's pretty bold because, I mean, you don't see double-digit win streaks hardly ever in baseball.
No, ever.
I mean, yeah, we saw one last year. Now, there is some interesting correlations between last year's 14-game win streak and where the Mariners currently find themselves, because last year, when they started their win streak, they had a losing record, and they started it against the Oakland A's, and the Mariners started this win streak with a losing record against the Oakland A's. And it was about a month before when last year's 14-game win streak happened.
Knowledge.
Bold take, Stacey sleeps in and misses all the games this weekend. Curtis, do you have a bold take?
My bold take.
I'm putting you on the spot.
For this weekend.
Yeah. So you're just going Pirates here.
Yeah, okay. So Mariners Pirates bold take. I think... The Mariners win their first two games of the series.
Okay.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Big whoop. They're rolling right now. Like, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The bold take is this. Carlos Santana ends up in a Mariners uniform by the end of this week.
Whoa. Hey, he sees
how much fun the Mariners are having across the way, and he's like, I need to be a part of that, guys.
You know what's most impressive about that? Is he was stalling and searching for some right now, and you found a gem with that bold take.
Bold take. Colton Wong gets a hit.
Get off my man. Don't talk about him like that.
I like this bold take because this is the storyline I'm most excited about if it does happen. Bold take, Julio and JK go back-to-back two times. Now, that is a bold take. I really, really hope. I'm excited. We're going to talk to Larry about this in like 6 minutes. Bump, I am so excited for the possibility that JK and Julio take off at the same time. I know he doesn't like being called JK. It's just
natural
for brevity. Sorry.
It's easy.
I don't like being called Stacey Sandoval, but we don't always get what we want.
No, that'd be awesome. That is something. If you want to see T-Mobile go nuts at this point of the year on a weekend, it's going to be beautiful out. They're rolling right now.
Holiday weekend.
Holiday. Family's in town. Barbecue's going. Nasty hot dogs you guys are eating out there. If that were to go down, it would feel like one of the greatest moments of the year thus far. That's the moment where you look at people you don't know and you're slapping hands like, you see that? That's when you bring the community together. We need that moment.
All right. I got a couple more bold takes, but I gotta cut this short. You guys are all sending in some funny ones, though. All right. So that will do it for us. We are going to stick with the Mariners, though. Larry Stone is going to join us. I'm going to start by asking him. He had a column about, like, hey, what could this team be if both Jared and Julio start taking off? Because it's kind of what we all envisioned. So we're going to start there. We got a lot to cover, though. Don't go anywhere.